Book of Matthew, Matthew chapter number 17. Okay, it's on. Praise the Lord. Matthew 17. Our theme for this year is faith that can move mountains. And we draw that from Matthew 17, starting in verse number 19 and 20. If you'd stand with me as we read the Word of God tonight. This thing of faith is something that I've been praying about, asking God to help me with. And faith is something that each and every one of us need. It's something that will help us. And we have to make sure that we do what is required to make sure that we have the faith that we need. Matthew chapter 17, look at verse 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could we not cast him out?" And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain, remove hence yonder place, and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." This thing of faith, God's laid on my heart to do a series on faith, and I'm going to try to do a little bit alphabetically down through different types of faith. But I'm going to talk to you tonight about appropriating faith. You say, what's that word appropriating mean? It means to take possession of. How do you take possession of faith? What does it need to be in your life? And we'll talk about the appropriating of faith in lesson number one tonight. And next Wednesday we have revival meeting, so we won't get into that. But we'll have it the following Wednesday as well. Let me encourage you to continue to come. I know God's teaching me a lot through it as I'm studying and different things. And I had a day to rest at home, so you guys are kind of... You know, I wasn't going to be here tonight. I really didn't think I would. Yesterday, I thought there's no way, but God allowed me to get a little bit better today where I was able to preach to you tonight. But I was able to read through some stuff yesterday and just spend a lot of time at home reading through the Bible and going through some different things. We're going to talk about the appropriating of our faith, to take possession of it, to own it, to make it yours. And we'll talk about that tonight. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the privilege of preaching. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for what you've done in our lives. Lord, I pray that you'll touch my voice tonight. Would you give me clarity of mind and heart? Lord, help me to be your mouthpiece this evening. Lord, help me not to say anything in the flesh of Dan Caldwell, but to say everything in the power of the Holy Spirit tonight. Lord, I ask you to touch my body even for this brief time as I stand behind this sacred desk and preach the Word of God. Lord, I need your help and I need your touch tonight. Physically, I'm weak. I need your help. And Lord, I pray that you just intervene here this evening. Lord, spiritually, we need you to intervene tonight. Lord, there's folks that are struggling, even myself. Lord, we struggle at times when we get in the flesh. And Lord, I pray that you just help us bind Satan. And Lord, we claim your promise that if we resist the devil, he'll flee from us. Lord, help us to rebuke the devourer. Help us to rebuke that old accuser and get him out of our lives. And Lord, we'll give you the praise, honor, and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. This thing of faith that can move mountains, this appropriating faith to take possession of, right or suitable. I was reading through the book of Matthew, starting to study through faith, and I thought about when Jesus walked on the Sea of Galilee, and he saw the fishermen in the boat, and he saw Simon Peter and Andrew, and he saw them and he said, "Hey, come and follow me." And it said, and they left their nets and they followed him. And he went a little further and he saw James and John, and he said they were fishing with their father Zebedee there. And he said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." And they immediately drew up their nets and they left all that they had and they followed him. See, that was faith. They had to take faith and put faith in Jesus. I mean, these were men that had a profession. These were men that did... they fished for a living, and they just left it all right then. And they said, "We're going to go follow him." And I got to thinking about what was it in their lives, and I began to read through some more, and I came to the book of Matthew, later on in Matthew chapter 9, verse 2, it said, "And behold, they brought him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." And I thought about that verse that said, "And Jesus seeing their faith." And I thought about, well, you can't see something that they don't own or that they don't have, and so they must have had possession of faith. And then down in verse 22, it said, "But Jesus turned him about and went and saw her And he said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And I thought, here's that woman with the issue of blood, and she had spent her living on doctors trying to help her. And she didn't really say anything to anybody. Just touched him, and he knew something had happened, and he turned around and he said, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." And then in Matthew 9, verse 29, it said, these were the blind folks, and he said, "Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And I thought, you know what, here's some people that were getting healed of some things in their life. There were some people that were putting the faith that they had and doing what they needed to do to exercise it. And Jesus saw that faith, and it began to work through my mind, and it began to go through my heart and say, you know, I wonder what it is, what it was about these people that made Jesus do what he did. It wasn't because they were better than the next person. It wasn't because they had more abilities than the person next to them. It's they had that one little word that you and I, and that we struggle with so much. That common word, faith. Faith. And I think of the times where the disciples were in the ship and Jesus had to tell them, "Oh, ye of little faith. Oh, ye of little faith." And I believe he says that to us sometimes. He says, "Oh, ye of little faith." I mean, we bring our burdens to God and we come to God and we say, "God, I want to see you do something. God, I want to see your help. God, I want to see you do things." And then we don't have enough faith to leave it in God's hands, and we just go on our own and say, "Well, God, you didn't do it for me." See, the difference was these folks realized that they couldn't do it on their own. They realized that there was nothing anybody else could do, that only Jesus could help them, that only Jesus had their answer. And that's our answer for our country today. That's our answer for our lives today. And Brother Doug, that's our answer for everything today is Jesus and faith in him. But as I was thinking of some things that we need to have in this thing of appropriating faith, is we need to have abiding faith. And you say, what's that mean? To abide means to remain in or to continue in or to be steadfast in something. And so to have abiding faith, I began to look up some verses on that, and I found Colossians 2 and verse 5. It says, "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you and in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." If you're in the habit of marking in your Bible, if you write these down and later on underline these things, Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 5, it says, "And the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says, "Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in the faith, in charity and holiness with sobriety." It said, if they continue in the faith. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 13 says, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." Notice there, it said, hold fast in faith, hold fast in faith. Hebrews 10:23, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." Again, it says, hold fast the profession of our faith. So we need to have abiding faith to remain in, to continue in. It needs to be steadfast, unmovable, just like the Bible says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. "For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord." If you're laboring with faith, you're staying steadfast in that faith. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3 says, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith." Again there, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and the labor of love and patience of the hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father." 2 Timothy 4, 7, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Colossians 1:23, "If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." He said there, if ye continue in the faith, again, we need to have abiding faith, that steadfast faith, that kind of faith that isn't wavering. It doesn't just come at times, it's there all the time. Colossians 2:7, "Rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." It says abounding therein. What's that mean? That means to have this abiding faith. That means it needs to be a faith that is there permanently. It's a faith that is there all the time.
It's a faith that we can't shake. It's a faith that's steadfast. It's unmovable. It's always there in the good times, in the bad times, in the mountaintop experiences, in the low valleys. That faith is still there. I believe Jesus touched these people in Matthew chapter 9 because even in the valley of their life, they realized the only person that could help them was Jesus. And they exercised that faith and they did what they were supposed to do. They trusted in Jesus and Him alone. Listen, we need to have that abiding faith. That faith that is there all the time. It's unshakable. It's not wavering. Nobody can deter us from it because our focus is on the Lord Jesus Christ. But to have this appropriating faith, this faith that is ours, first off, it's got to be that abiding faith, that faith that's steadfast, that's not moved. But it needs to be absorbing faith. It needs to be absorbing faith. You say, what's that mean? To absorb means to occupy or fill. So it's not just something that needs to be steadfast. It needs to totally fill you. You need to soak it up like a sponge. You need to let it saturate every part of your being. See, I think about the verse in the book of Jeremiah when he was ready to quit. And I mention this verse quite often. But he talks about where he's ready to throw in the towel and he's ready to give up. And he talks about the Word of God being inside of him so much that it was like a raging fire. You know what he did? He absorbed the faith that he had in Jesus. And even though he wasn't seeing the outward fruits of his labor, he knew that it wasn't about what he did. It was about what Jesus was doing. And later on, people were saved and lives were changed because of the ministry of Jeremiah. But he had that absorbing faith, that faith that occupied him and filled him. And I looked at that passage in Matthew chapter 9. It says, then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it in you. And then he looked at that lady and he told her, he said, because of the faith that is in you. And when those men brought their friend who was sick of the palsy, he said, their faith had met. He said, seeing their faith. Listen, it was so saturated in their life that everybody could see it. Acts 26 verse 18 says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and the inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Faith that is in me. Well, that means it needs to be inside of you, filling up inside of you, occupying you. It said that faith that is in me. Romans 10:8 said, but what saith it? For the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. He said, it's in your heart, the word of faith which we preach. Listen, it needs to be inside of you. It needs to go everywhere you go. Not only can nobody make you waver from it, is you need to be totally absorbed with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be totally consumed with faith in the Holy Spirit of God. You need to be totally consumed and just saturated in the faith that comes from the object of our faith. And that's Jesus. But not only do we need to have abiding faith and absorbing faith, we need to have active faith. We need to have active faith. To be active means to have an activity or to go forward into something or to exercise in something. That means that we need to work it out. We need to be doing something with it. We need to make it mobile. Do something with that faith. Look, James 2:18 says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. I'll show thee my faith by my works. Now listen, he wasn't saying that it's a work salvation at that point. James wasn't saying that you have to show and work your way into faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What he was saying is if you have genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you ought to be active in it. You ought to be doing something with it. You ought to be letting people know what it's all about. That means you need to be knocking on doors, going soul winning. That means you need to be praying. You need to be doing things. It needs to be active. He said, I'll show you my faith by my works. He's not doing it because of his own self-interest and his own self-gain to make himself get a pat on the back. Excuse me. Not to get a pat on the back, but to have an active faith. James 2:20, he said, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. So you want to have a faith that can move mountains. You want to have a an appropriating faith, a faith that you can make your own. It needs to be an abiding faith, something that is unmovable, it's unshakable. It needs to be an absorbing faith, a faith that just totally consumes you from the inside out. It needs to be an active faith, a faith that you put legs to. You know, when you pray for somebody and you say, "Lord, I want you to save my neighbor," that means you go over and you witness to your neighbor. You don't just sit at home and pray for somebody in your church to come knock on your neighbor's door. You go out there and you put legs on that faith and you do something with it. James said, "I'll show you my faith by my works." And he said, "Faith without works is dead." You can say that you have faith in God, but if you're not willing to serve Him and be active in the things of God, you're one of those ones, he says, "Oh, ye of little faith." Listen, you need to be active for the things of God. James 2:26, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Listen, you want to have a living faith, a faith that is alive evermore, and you want to see God do some wonderful things in your life. You want to have this appropriating faith, this one that faith that you can make your own. It needs to be an abiding faith, a faith that's unshakable, a faith that can't be moved. It needs to be an absorbing faith, one that just totally saturates you from the inside. It needs to be an active faith, a faith that you put legs to and do something with. But lastly tonight is it needs to be an audible faith. It needs to be an audible faith. You say, "What do you mean by an audible faith?" That means vocal. People need to hear about it. The Bible says in Philemon chapter 1 and verse number 5, it says, "Hearing of thy love and faith." Hearing of thy love and faith. Romans 10:17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So then what does faith come by? Huh? So what's hearing come by? The word of God. Faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And how do we hear that? Preaching, talking, right? We're all good at that. Most of us are good at talking with our fingers nowadays, okay, instead of our voices. But our faith needs to be audible. Listen, the Muslims have no problem telling people what they believe. They have no issue with that at all. They have no issue telling people why they believe in Muhammad or why they believe in Allah. It's a very vocal, audible thing that they believe in. Guess what? The atheists who believe in nothing are very vocal about that. And they'll speak about it. And they'll tell you all about it. But then why is it that we have the true Word of God? We have the answer. We have the right kind of faith. The one that we can put our faith actually in. Something that you can count on. Something that you can bank on. And understand, we're so quiet with it. We never say anything. The Bible says if the gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. You say, "Well, how do we hide it?" Is we never say anything about it. We never talk about it. We never tell anybody about it. But it said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You can't have somebody get faith if they never hear it. If they never hear it. You've got to hear about that faith. And if you're going to hear about that faith, it means somebody ought to be saying something about it. Somebody ought to be talking about it. Somebody ought to be doing something with it. It needs to be an abiding faith, one that's unshakable. You know what that means? That means when you're telling somebody about it, Brother Jeff, and they want to try to shake your faith a little bit, nothing that they say is going to make you waver from your faith in God. And it needs to be a faith that's totally absorbing you. Well, how do you do that? As you get into the Word of God, and you let the Word of God so quickly just come inside of you and to totally absorb you, and you make it part of your life, where it just saturates you from the inside out. And it fills you up so much that it runs over. And it becomes active. And you begin to do things with it. You begin to put legs on your faith. And then it's an audible faith. It's you just shouting it from the rooftops. You're letting everybody know what you believe. Listen, why is it that Christians are the most quiet people? It seems like saved people, Brother Doug, are some of the most quiet people about their faith. They don't ever say anything about it. You know why? Because when you talk about Jesus, opposition comes. Because the devil wants to fight against that. You know what? The devil's not going to fight against Muslims. He's not going to fight against that. You know why? It's a false religion. That doesn't threaten him. He's not going to fight against these witch doctors over in other countries. You know why? Because it doesn't threaten him. It doesn't cramp his style at all. But when you mention Jesus, the only one that can stop him, the only one that can hinder him, the only one that can hold him off. He's going to try to fight as much as he can fight. Listen, that ought to encourage you even more, just to be more vocal and more audible about it. Why? Because you know that if you're making the devil mad, you're doing something right. You're doing something right. You know how to know if Tabernacle Baptist Church is doing something right? The devil's going to be mad at this place. The devil's going to be trying to fight in this church. Understand this, he only fights whom he fears. And he fears Jesus. And if we put that abiding faith, that absorbing faith, that active faith, and we make it audible and let people know all about it, the devil's going to fight. You say, preacher, I don't know that I like that. I don't know that I want to fight. Listen, you're in a war. You're in a war. If you're a child of God today, let me tell you what. The Bible says that you are on the Lord's side. You're on His army. And the devil is going to fight you. That's why the book of Ephesians was there in chapter number 6 where he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breast, and he says, and above all, taking to you the shield of faith, which is able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Listen, you know why you need that shield of faith? Because the devil's going to come after you. You've got to have faith. This thing of faith that can move mountains. Listen, I want to see God move some mountains this year. I want to see God do some wonderful things this year. But God's not going to do it if we're just going to sit on the sidelines and say, yeah, you guys go ahead. No, we need to be getting in the game. We need to let this faith just make us so focused on what we're doing that it totally just makes us, our face like a flint, and we're steadfast and unmovable in it. And it totally absorbs us. We get into the Word of God, and the Word of God just saturates in us, and it increases our faith because we're just letting it flow inside of us. And pretty soon it just overruns, and we just can't help it because we're just soaking it up even more. And that's what the faith needs to come in. And then we need to make it active, and we need to get out and act upon that faith and show our faith by our works and show God that we're not just playing games here, that we really want to do, we really do want to see Him do something. We don't want to mess around here and say, God, we want you to do something. We're going to sit on the sidelines. No, God, we want you to do something. We're going to get out here and be used of you any way that we possibly can. And then it's going to be an audible faith. That means that that person who you may not want to talk to, they can't ever trust Christ if they never hear it. They can't ever change what they believe if they never hear truth. That doesn't mean that you need to be vindictive in what you say and say, you know what, you're living in a fantasy world and you're going to die and go to hell someday, even though that's true. But you need to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove sometimes with your words. That works with some people, but it doesn't work with everybody. You need to learn how to communicate with people and how to talk with them and have this audible relationship. We need to get, I believe Facebook and texting and all that stuff has really ruined us in the way that we talk to people. We don't know how to read people's facial expressions. We don't know how to listen to their moods and find out what they're dealing with. We can't tell if somebody's had a bad day. We can't, you know, we need to have that kind of ability. But that audible faith is something that we're going to talk to somebody. We're going to use that faith to encourage folks. We're going to use that faith to witness to people and see them come to know the Lord as their Savior. We're going to use that audible faith to get them into the baptismal tank and then to see them discipled here on Thursday nights and on Wednesday night and on Sunday in church, and they're coming as much as they can. And on Saturdays, we're going out and we're knocking on doors and we're telling people about the greatest gift anybody could ever have, and that's that gift of eternal life that comes through Jesus Christ and only Him. But it needs to be an audible faith. I want you to think back to the day you got saved. It wasn't because nobody spoke to you. You heard it from someone. Maybe it was somebody just coming up to you and said, hey, I'm from such and such a church, and we put some verses out of the Word of God, and I'd just like to give you this, and would you read it sometime? You know what they did? They were active in their faith, and they said something about it, and they gave it to you, and guess what? You read it, and the Holy Spirit convicted your heart, and you got saved. Maybe it was a preacher preaching, and he was preaching the Word of God, but guess what? It was an audible faith, and that faith came by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Maybe it was a soul winner that knocked on your door. Maybe it was a loved one, a mother or father. Maybe it was somebody like that. But if they would have kept their mouth shut, you'd be on your way to hell today. And if they would have never helped you and trained you and discipled you and tried to talk to you and do different things to try to be there for you and to be that blessing and that encouragement, guess what? You wouldn't be where you are today. See, this appropriating faith, this making this faith yours, to take possession of it. Listen, you need to take possession of it, and you need to set your face like a flint and have this abiding faith, this faith that is focused and steadfast and unmovable. And you need to have this absorbing faith, this faith that's just within you, and it just flows out of you because it just saturates inside. And it needs to be an active faith, a faith that you just put legs to and you go out and you do a work for the Lord. Maybe it's just coming around and cleaning up in the flower beds or doing something, but you're doing something for the Lord. And it's an audible faith. People know who you believe in because you're not ashamed to say it. You're not ashamed to tell somebody about it. 1 Timothy 4:12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. It's to be an example of the believer. And he mentions in faith. In faith. Colossians 1:4, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. Colossians 1:4, we just read that. Since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. Listen, people need to hear about it. They can't ever receive that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They can't ever be saved until they'll hear about it. But you can't ever make that faith yours and just abide in it and have that appropriating faith that you just take possession of it if you're not abiding in it. If you're not absorbed in it. If you're not active in it. And you're not audibly speaking it. Guess what? Then you don't own it. You know why? Because it's not part of you. See, there's certain things that you recognize that some people own. Somebody owns a house and you've been to that house. Guess what? That landmark associates you with that person. When you see that person, like I could go out in a parking lot here, most of us could, and we could look at that white Chevy Suburban. And most of us know who that is. Because that possession belongs with Shane and his family. So when we hear of faith, people ought to be able to look at you and associate you with that word faith. When they hear of Doug Burrows, they need to be able to say, hey, that guy has faith. Faith fits with him. When they look at you, they need to say, Jeff Melton, guess what? Faith fits with him. You need to have it, make it your own. It needs to be your possession. But the only way that's going to happen is if you'll abide in it. And you'll let it absorb you. And you'll be active in it. Listen, you want to have dead faith? Just sit on the sidelines. Faith without works is dead. I don't want to hear how much faith you have in God until I see it. Because guess what? People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Until they see it. Until they see it. And as they see you do it, guess what then they'll tend to do? They'll listen. If they see you living it, they'll listen to you speaking it. You may say, well, I don't understand why people just don't listen to me when I tell them. What's your talk saying? Or what's your walk saying? Does your walk say something different than what your talk says? I don't think I'm going to do much good in society if I live just like the world does. And then I get up here and I preach behind this pulpit and I tell somebody, guess what? You need to live right. Man, you need to pray. You need to read your Bible. You need to follow God. I say, what about you? But if I'm living right and I'm trying to follow the Lord, though I'm not perfect by any means, but if I focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and I abide in that faith and I let it absorb me and I'm active with it and I go out doing things and I don't just say something now or do something, I'm actually saying it, people are going to listen. They're going to listen. That's why a lot of times when we tell our kids something sometimes, our kids say, why should I do that? They get an attitude. They start getting rebellious. Because guess what? They know you don't. So why should they? It said, be thou an example of a believer in word, in conversation, and it said, in faith.
in faith. Faith that can move mountains. You got to own it. You got to appropriate that faith. You got to have that appropriating faith, that faith that belongs to you. How do I do it, preacher? You abide in it. You let it absorb you. You're active and you're audible with it. Where are you at in your faith tonight? Head bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. Thank you for your patience tonight with